Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take those, jot down your information. We just want to get a record of your attendance today. We don't want to embarrass any guests with us. We just want to say thank you for worshiping with us today. If I could draw your attention to our bulletin, we have several announcements listed there. I will not mention all of those. We'll mention a few of those. We do have children's time later on in the service, following our first hymn, as you can see listed in the bulletin. Also, tomorrow morning, we have Bible study here at the church at 10 a.m. Miss Mary's going to lead that. And Miss Mary also reminded me that book club is coming up next week, a week from tomorrow. So next Monday's book club. So, Mom, you can start reading the book now.
That's right.
She says she waits to the last minute so she remembers what happened. So I guess that's where I get it from. It is Thanksgiving week, and there are several things going on in the life of our church the week of Thanksgiving. Our Wednesday schedule, however, is a little different. We don't have our normal Wednesday night family supper this week. However, we will gather at 7 p.m. right here for our annual Thanksgiving service, as I'm sure many of you enjoy that service as I do and look forward to being here together, gathered for worship again at 7 p.m. Wednesday night for our Thanksgiving service. Also, another service we have this week will be Tuesday at 1 p.m. Miss Betsy Thompson passed away just this last week on Thursday evening, and we're going to gather together to celebrate her life, the life that she lived here on this earth, but more importantly, the life that she's currently living, and we look forward to celebrating this Tuesday at 1 p.m. Following that, the family will be in Smith Hall for visitation, so if you could plan to stay around and give your condolences to them and maybe share your favorite Miss Betsy story, as I'm sure many of you have one. Also, we need to remember our teenagers, especially our minister to students and families, as they are getting ready to come back from Ridgecrest. They've been gone all weekend. They've had a great time, as I hear. I heard there's a little couple sicknesses, but everybody's doing well and going to make it home. But Jeff's going to be driving tired home, so let's remember him in our thoughts and prayers today. Our ushers now are going to return back down the aisle. And if you're a guest with us, we just want to extend a special welcome to you. They're going to have a packet of information they would like to give you. If you would, just slip up your hand when they pass you by. Inside of that packet, there's a letter from our pastor, also a church newsletter, just letting you know a little bit more about how we do things here at College Park. It is a great place to be, and it's especially a great place to be here today, as I believe we're celebrating a Thanksgiving is the morning message I heard this morning, and I know Raymond didn't write another one real quick, and so we are a thankful people. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that we have today to gather for worship, and our choir now is going to come and call us to worship. Pray with me. Father, that's why we're here, to praise your name. Well, we praise you all day, every day. Right now is the time when we gather to praise you corporately. Father, help us tune out the distractions of this world while we praise the one who created this world, and that is you. So, Father, let everything that's said and done be about you this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Praise him, praise him, Jesus, help us in need.
us? Is there one more coming? Good. Good. The more the better. You know, Pastor Jeff is traveling back from Ridgecrest with all the youth. So I was really excited that I got to be here with you. That really made me thankful. Here she comes. We're glad you're here. You guys give me an attitude of gratitude. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up this Thursday. But every day we need to be thankful, don't we? But can I tell you a story? Yesterday I didn't have a very good attitude. Mr. Jim and I were working at home, and every time we'd get something done, I'd think of about five more things I needed to do. So I had a pretty bad attitude, and I was trying so hard to get my attitude on track, but I just couldn't do it. And then Mr. Jim reminded me about what was really important. And I thought about in Psalms, it tells us that when our heart's overwhelmed, we need to look to God, and that He'll provide us with everything we need. And so it really made me think about having a better attitude. So I want to show you something. Don't look yet. I promise I washed my hands too. Okay? What's that?
A donut.
A donut. When you looked at that, what did you see?
I saw it in my hand. Smell it. I just got hungry.
Exactly. Because you think about all the goodness, don't you? Smell that. Doesn't that smell good? You smell it? Come here, Jared. Smell it. When you see this donut, you think about all the goodness, don't you? You forget about the whole. And that's what we need to remember, that God's goodness is so great, it helps us forget about and get through the holes. So I want to teach you a little rhyme. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. I promise you we'll get a donut. Okay, you ready? Will you help me say this after me? You ready? Let me see your eyes. Okay, with each new day, you say it. With each new day, remember this goal. Remember this goal. Give thanks for the donuts. And forget the holes. All right, let's get the grown-ups to say it with us. You ready? We'll say the first part and you repeat after me. You ready? With each new day, remember this goal.
Remember this goal.
Give thanks for the donuts.
Give thanks for the donuts.
Forget the holes.
Forget the holes.
Yeah. I've got a donut for you before we go, because I want you to be thankful for all of God's goodness, okay? Will you remember that today? And choose to have an attitude of gratitude, because that brings glory to God, doesn't it? Will you guys pray with me, and then I will have a donut for you, I promise. Will you bow your heads? Okay, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanks and praise. Please help us remember to choose an attitude of gratitude, because you give us so many blessings, so much goodness, and it's through all that goodness that helps us get through the holes in this life. So please help us to choose good words and good actions that bring glory to you. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Would you like a donut? Okay. I did wash my hands, I promise. Okay, there you go. You can go back to your places, okay?
Miss Leanne, the preacher wants one. He told me to go get in line. I think he wanted me to get his. She thought about it. Sorry, man. Scripture lesson for the day comes from Psalm chapter 63. That is located on page 409 in your pew Bible. Psalm chapter 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as the richest of foods with singing lips. My mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's will glory in him, while the mouths of liar will be silenced.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Every time I get the opportunity to come up here, I like to think of what I could say to kind of tie things in, to kind of make us all get on the same page. And yesterday, as I stood outside doing what most of us are doing right now, raking leaves, it hit me that we've changed seasons. And right now, the leaves falling is a slight aggravation to all of us, right? And that's kind of what goes on in our lives. So each day we have it, or each season in our life, there's something maybe good, maybe bad. But much like the leaves, you got to look up. And when you look up, what do you see? Leaves are on the ground. You look up, you see this tree, this huge figure. The next season is beautiful. It's bigger, it's greater, and it's going to be there. That's what we've got in our Lord, and that's what we need to keep our eye on. We got to know that no matter what season we're in, no matter what pain we've got, no matter what we're dealing with, there's always something bigger, there's always something greater, and it's just around the corner. Whatever it is going to be that much more beautiful. If you would pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for College Park. Thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you for the leadership you've put in place that helps us through all our various seasons. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the forgiveness that your son died on the cross to give all of us. We know we're sinners. We ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for all that you are. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
answers that question. The question was, what's all the back row? I thought they gave a test, and the ones that scored the best on being Baptist got the back row, and the rest of y'all are relegated to the front row. So it's beautiful choir, beautiful, very nice. You know, Thursday is Thanksgiving. Did you know that? Thursday is Thanksgiving, and for the record, I don't mind the donut holes. Those are pretty good too, aren't they? Yeah, I hate to ruin a good sermon illustration, but yeah, those are pretty good. Next Sunday is going to be a good service. We're going to have a great time of celebration. This is kind of interesting because for the first time in 6 years, 7 years, whatever, how the calendar works out, the Sunday following Thanksgiving is not the first Sunday of Advent. You know, usually we go from Thanksgiving right into the first Sunday of Advent. Next Sunday is not the first Sunday of Advent. So we will have time to truly reflect on Thanksgiving before we begin the Advent season. As such, next Sunday is the Sunday that we will take up the Thanksgiving harvest offering. I know you've probably all read about it. You got a letter, you got your envelope. There will be envelopes here in case you forgot. It's just a wonderful time of Thanksgiving to come together for that offering. So if you did not get a letter, if you would see me following the service, and I'll explain briefly kind of what that's all about. But I look forward to that service. It was a great service last year, a wonderful spirit, and look forward to it again this year. Today we are going to continue kind of in a series. The first Sunday of the month we had homecoming, and we talked about how thankful we were to be a part of a community, a body of believers like College Park. Last week we had just an awesome service of communion and baptism, and truly we're thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about change in the lives of people. And we're going to kind of continue in that vein today. We're going to talk about the impact of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, living a life that is truly thankful. As I read through this preparation for this sermon, as well as Wednesday night's service, and as well as next Sunday morning, I went back and read a lot of different stuff. The Interpreter's Bible I depend on a lot. I went back and picked up the old Broadman commentary, and it was just some wonderful stuff topically as well as scripturally speaking. Pastor Rick Fisher, I read some of his remarks, which were really good, about just the season of Thanksgiving and how it should bring us back into focus about what it means to live thankful lives. I landed on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for our text today, and I'll give you a minute to turn to it, because if I start reading while you're turning, you won't get to it before the time I get done reading. Okay, because even though it looks like it's a long passage, verse 16, 17, and 18, it's basically one sentence. So if you can get to that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and beginning verse 16, it reads like this. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Say that with me. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a powerful statement. You know, when we hear the words thankfulness or thanksgiving, and we'll hear it a lot this week, every time you hear that, every time you hear the word gratitude, as Miss Leanne said, thanksgiving or thankfulness and gratitude, a lot of times when we hear that word thankfulness or thanksgiving, our mind goes to kind of what we respond to when someone is gracious to us, right? Someone gives us a gift. What do we say? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That is exhibiting at some level a spirit of thanksgiving or thankfulness, right? It is a response to an act of graciousness. And with it, it usually carries some sort of emotion, right? When you say thank you, you don't, thank you. thanks a lot for that. But you know, that's sarcasm. We're talking about genuine spirit. And with that comes kind of a deep sense of emotion, right? Well, there is a deeper attachment to the word thankfulness. and gratitude that maybe we need to examine, you know, because it's a deeper need to stop and to consider not only the ways that we express thankfulness or gratitude to God and other people, but also the impact that God intends for the emotion, for the character mark that God wants to place on our lives so that we live lives of thanksgiving, of gratefulness. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul exhorts us to be people of gratitude, giving thanks in the midst of all life circumstances, all life's relationships, all of life's experiences. He reminds us that it is God's will and God's purpose for us to live as people of joy, people of prayer, people of thanksgiving. That's what he wants us to do. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Perhaps the Apostle Paul knew that one of the greatest blessings of being people predisposed to gratitude is the fact that it has a positive impact on our own lives, not just to whom we express that thankfulness and that appreciation. It affects us. It enriches our lives as well as those that we express that to. And the experience of life each day is profoundly affected by thankfulness at work in our own hearts. Notice, first of all, a thankful spirit slays our pride. I just like that word. A thankful spirit slays our pride. You know, we live in a culture that is driven by performance, don't we? Think about it. I mean, from parents giving performance-based acceptance to employers giving performance-based acceptance and pay scales to this whole thing of paying obscene amounts of money to sit in arenas, to sit in stadiums, to sit in auditoriums, to be entertained by the performance of someone with a particular skill set. We assign great importance. We bestow lofty platforms, unfortunately, and we grant great influence to those who perform at the highest levels in our culture. I often say, I'm sorry, every time I see professional athletes' salaries, I just shake my head. If we would reserve a portion of that, preferably a large portion of that, to invest in the lives of those who are teaching our children, you know, how much better would our culture be? How much better would our young people grow? That's another sermon. You know, but while we're recognizing the fascination, while we're recognizing this obsession that our culture has for performers, we need to understand it is increasingly becoming an issue in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about choir singing or me standing here. I'm not talking about that type of performance. What I'm talking about is the everyday performance sometimes that we put on. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, sometimes other people do things of kindness. They do works of ministry, acts of ministry, so that somehow they'll get a little credit for it. It's not about doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not about doing so that God gets the credit. Sometimes it's a performance so people will go, oh, look at them. They're such a good person. They're such a good person. And we get those strokes for the wrong reason. And sometimes, many times, our energy is so focused on doing acts of ministry, which granted, the recipients are blessed by that, but when we do it in the wrong spirit, I'm not sure how that really works out. God, it's His deal. He'll take care of it. But for us, we miss out. When we put all our energy in that end of the spectrum, we miss out on the personal acts of praise and worship. We're content to perform rather than to live out the blessing of being more like Christ. And you see, when we gather in this arena, when we gather here today, we are here to praise and worship God. Amen? That is our primary focus. That is what we should be here for. It's not about the choir performing, although it was a gorgeous piece. But I know their hearts. They were here to lead us in worship. They wanted to lift their talents, their voices up so that we could experience that. And our emotions, our spirit could soar with them as they sang. Amen, choir? That's why they're here. That's why we're here. We're here to worship God. And see, out of our worship, we become, the goal is to become more like Christ. Because as we commune with one another and with God, our goal is to be more Christ-like, to grow in our understanding of who God is, grow in our understanding of who God wants us to be in relationship with Him. And out of that comes the acts of ministry. The acts of ministry are not the ends of themselves. They grow out of a healthy, healthy relationship with God and with Christ. That is the point I'm trying to make, and I believe that is what Paul struggled with, trying to teach the people. You don't do it for this reason, you do it for the best reason. More about that in just a minute. You see, the performance mentality tends to tilt our thinking away from reliance on God and recognition of our need for His leadership, for His purposes, for His resources in our lives. What it does in a performance mode, we become self-reliant, we become arrogant, we become prideful as we succumb to the temptation that our thoughts and our ways are best. God, I know you're busy. I got this. I know what I'm doing down here. I've been doing this for 30 years. I can do it some more. I don't really need you right now. You help those who need to be helped. That we never say that. Please tell me we never say that. We never say that, but sometimes our actions reflect that very attitude. And yet Isaiah 55, it's very clear, very clearly teaches that we are not the center of the universe. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Who's speaking here? God. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are higher. God's thoughts are higher. I know that's news for some of us sometimes, but God's making it very clear. And see what pride does, pride robs us of a willingness to consult the thoughts and the ways of God. Pride robs us of a thankful spirit. It separates us from a humility that is absolutely necessary for godliness to take root and to grow. For we have remade God in our image, pridefully speaking, and we become captive to our best thinking and efforts. We're depending on ourselves rather than God. J.B. Phillips wrote a book, one of my favorite books ever. It's about this thick, little bitty thin book called "Your God Is Too Small." And in one of the destructive description of God, he talks about God in a box. You know how your God is so neatly tidy, put in a box. You have it all figured out. You've got God figured out. And here's what He looks like. Here's what He does. That's pride. That's pride speaking. The opposite, the antithesis of that is thankfulness. Thankfulness is the personal declaration of our dependence on Almighty God for every aspect of life, and it absolutely slays our pride. Thankfulness puts pride to death and realigns our heart with the heart and the mind of God. That's what thankfulness does. The second thing that a thankful spirit does is order the actions of our lives. It orders the actions. Thankfulness and daily living are essential companions if we are to be in right relationships for the plans and the purposes that God has for our lives. Do you agree with that? We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to live our lives daily in a spirit of thanksgiving if we're going to be in right relationship with God's plans for us. Paul encourages us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, "And whatever you do in word or deed, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, Scripture teaches pretty clearly that an orientation toward giving thanks in all things will shape the way that we see life, in the life that will be lived in the light of the name and the character of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about becoming more like Him daily. Also, it will shape the way that we live daily, whatever we do and how we respond to other people. So if we lack a deep and personal understanding that life is to be lived in sight, in light of who God is, and in a relationship to what Jesus has done and is continuing to do within us, then our vision of life's priorities and our actions get skewed. You see, if we're living selfish lives, then we get skewed. We get out of step with God's plans for us. We're no longer in touch with His thoughts and His ways. It's all about us again. And therefore, whether we like to admit it or not, our actions, our insufficient actions, are a result of the fact that we're just out of step with God. We're doing it again under our own strength. All of the fruit of our labor won't last nearly like it would if we were in step with God. Now you say, well, can't God bless that even if we do it with the wrong motivation? Yes, He can. And fortunately, He does. Fortunately, He does. But the impact it has on our life is not nearly what it could, what it should be if we were in right relationship with God. If we lack a deep and personal understanding that life is to be lived as God wants us, in His ways, in His thoughts. You see, the ultimate impact of gratitude is seen in the action of our lives. In John chapter 13, a beautiful passage of Scripture, Jesus is spending some quality time with the disciples. He knows what's going down. He knows His time is still short with them. But He spent some time, in a very profound and impactful way, He showed them, He demonstrated to them the connection of thankfulness with the priorities and the actions of life. He showed how thanksgiving was linked to action living. And you say, what is that passage? Well, kneeling before them one by one, Jesus performed the act of a common servant. He washed their feet. John records this in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. Excuse me. It says, "So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments and sat down, He said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" Jesus is saying, I've given you an example. Follow it. I'm here to model for you the correct behavior. Don't overthink this. Just follow my example. He goes on, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He didn't say, blessed are you if you just keep them to yourself. He said, no, blessed are you if you do them. If you act upon what you have learned, blessed are you. You see, the ultimate fruit of a thankful spirit is service to others. Jesus teaches us the importance of a proper and right perspective toward life. And then He drives home the reality that our perspective toward life will shape every single word and action of our lives. You see, thankfulness will order the action of our lives. First of all, thankful spirit slays our pride. Second of all, thankful spirit orders the action of our lives. And number three, I don't have a number three. There's only two. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Do you know what a barometer is? Barometer. You know what a barometer is? Barometric pressure. You know what I'm talking about? They use the meteorologists use a barometer to measure the atmospheric, the barometric pressure in the atmosphere. And then they get on TV and try to convince us that they know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, right? I'm going to do that. When I retire, I want to be a meteorologist and stand up there and point at a green screen and you know. But that is the pressure. It measures pressure, and then based on that, they make their prediction of what the weather's going to be, what things are going to be like based on that pressure. As I thought about that, you know, the presence and the level of gratitude and thankfulness in our lives is kind of like a good pressure on our lives, affecting the way that we view ourselves, affecting the way that we view other people, and the way that we live toward God and other people. Paul encourages us. He says, be people who are always thankful. Be people who are thankful in all things, who show gratitude in all things, in all circumstances. Allow the presence of gratitude to slay our pride and to order our actions. And then he tells us why. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is God's will, that we rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. We say that, and Father, we really do mean that. But sometimes we slip. Sometimes we slide backwards and somehow believe that we can run our own lives and that we don't need you. Father, forgive us of those times of pride that overtake us, the sin that's in our life that keeps us out of fellowship and leads us toward that path of pridefulness, self-sufficiency. God, we pray that we would be the kind of people that not only would depend upon you, Father, but that we would demonstrate that toward others so that they would say, what's different? What's different about your life? And would open an opportunity for us to share about the love of Jesus Christ that's so freely given to us, the power of your Spirit that allows us to live thankful lives that is so freely given to us. As we accept that gift, we pray that you would receive the glory for all the things that we think, say, and do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, which is the beginning point for all this that we've talked about, that relationship with Christ, if you do not have that, this morning I'll be here at the front as we sing in just a moment, be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but boy, I'm not sure I'm living the kind of life that you've described this morning. Well, you can settle it right here. You can push the restart button, the reset button, and say, God, forgive me for my own arrogance, my own pride. I want to live according to your ways and to your thoughts. He'll bless you. He'll cleanse you. He'll give you a fresh start. If you're here and you say, I'd love to be a member of this church, I highly recommend it. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. I want to invite you all, following the benediction, choral response, greet one another, express a spirit of thanksgiving to one another for the opportunity to be here together, to worship and to learn together. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you again for all that you've done in our lives that brought us to this point today. Father, we thank you for all that you'll do through us, in us, as we continue the journey together. We pray as we go on that journey this week that we would be a blessing. But Father, that we would depend upon you and your ways and your thoughts as we reach out and we bless others. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.